Hi there, I'm Janet Quinlan, and this is Finding Joy in Motherhood, the podcast for women who are looking for practical tools and words of encouragement to create an orderly, joyful, faith, and virtue-driven home. I'll share tips to create mindset shifts that change the way you discipline your children, love your husband, and enjoy your day. This podcast is about coaching women to be the best woman God is calling her to be. I'm so glad you're here. Hi, and welcome to episode number 171, Are You an Angry Mom? Before I got married, I never thought of myself as one who had a quick temper. But when I started having children, that suddenly changed. As a young mom, I found myself getting angry at the smallest, dumbest things. The first time I lost it was with my first baby, when she was about 5 months old, and she wouldn't stop crying. I picked her up from her crib and yelled, "Stop crying!" at her and put her down in the crib. And I immediately felt tremendous guilt and shame. And to be honest, I still feel it to this day. As we had more children and more was required of me, Michael was working 80-hour weeks, and so he wasn't home a lot, I would lose it more and more with each additional child for stupid things. When babies would not nap or shorten their nap, when toys or clothes were left on the floor or I'd step on Legos, when children didn't do as they were told, or when a child was fighting me as I was trying to get them into a car seat. And every time I'd lose it, I quickly felt shame and guilt. And then, of course, those outbursts added to the evidence that I was an impatient person, a bad mom, which only made me angrier and more convinced I couldn't change. When we look at what triggers us to have an angry eruption, objectively speaking, the incident is rarely worthy of such an emotional response of 0 to 100 in nanoseconds. The anger eruptions that we experience are usually just the tip of the iceberg, and the real problem is what's under the water. Here are some reasons why maybe you have angry eruptions. We need to look at what's under the surface. One is unprocessed emotions. Maybe we're juggling work and home and parenting and in-laws and who knows what. And we're juggling it, but we're not processing our emotions around it. Maybe we have financial strain, not getting a break, or not taking a break, not saying, "I need to get away every week for a couple of hours, find a babysitter," or, "Husband, you're on." Maybe it's marital discord and we have relationship problems. Or it's physical changes after pregnancy with hormonal fluctuations. And of course, sleep deprivation. And then there are unmet needs that cause unprocessed emotions, which I'll get into in a bit. Essentially, these things are triggers that have nothing to do with the child or what they did. But what they did pulls up feelings that we haven't processed of feeling disrespected or frustrated or unloved or ignored. Or maybe we feel irrelevant because all our hard work and sacrifice, and still they don't do what we ask. I think the answer to one degree or another is that the child we're yelling at or losing our total cool over took away our control. But if you step back and look at a recent outburst, ask yourself, what did my child do? Was my response appropriate? Why wasn't it appropriate? What was I thinking? How did my thinking contribute to my feelings that resulted in my angry outburst? Yes, yelling releases anger, but it's not an effective way to change behavior. Now, let's dive deep a little bit into unmet expectations for our children. Most of our children's behavior, you're not going to like this, is because of our own parenting flaws. We indulge children. We say yes to them more times than saying no, and then we wonder why they have a meltdown when we say no. We try to make them happy all the time, doing whatever it takes to avoid their meltdown or yelling at us. And then when we don't make them happy, they lose it and then we lose it. We allow disrespect by letting them ignore our requests so that by the time we ask them to do something the fifth time, we explode. We're inconsistent with our expectations. And that comes from not having a clear family culture and clear idea of the type of adults you want to raise. Clear expectations in your behavior and in their behavior. And when we engage in any of these behaviors, we lose our marbles when our child takes too long to tie their shoes or keeps playing when you said, get your coat on, or won't eat what you've given them today, even though you've let them tell you what they want for meals in the past. Look at your behavior first. Do you have expectations for your behavior so that the children know how to respond to you? Do you know what age-appropriate behavior is for each of your children? Developmentally, what is reasonable? Do you know? How long does it take to instill virtues, habits, and routines in your children? Again, you're not going to like the answer. It's a lifetime. As an adult, aren't you still learning patience? I know I am. Kindness, orderliness, and all the other virtues that we expect our children to automatically have. So, we have to set clear age-appropriate expectations for our children, but then have empathy and compassion when they can't meet them and hold them accountable when they choose not to meet them. Taking their behavior personally is not helpful. Detach. Be the teacher. Be the leader, not the two-year-old having the biggest tantrum in the room. All right, now, how about expectations for your motherhood? That's also a reason why we sometimes lose it. What did you imagine motherhood to be? I didn't know it would be so physically and mentally difficult. I had never experienced the mental and physical exhaustion that motherhood brought. And to this day, nothing has been as exhausting as my time raising my children. My story about motherhood was that I didn't really think about being a mother. I thought about having a baby, or seven, but not what motherhood would actually entail, what it would require of me. I thought it would feel fulfilling, but then I realized that I had to find my fulfillment in what I was doing rather than wait for the feeling. For me, creating fulfillment was when I embraced the idea that this was a vocation, a calling from God. A calling from God. What could be more fulfilling? Without that intentional decision of fulfillment, it's no wonder that so many struggle with the doing of it. If we don't know why and have a really strong why, it's very hard to control our actions. You have to create that thought. And boy, does it need to be strong to get up day in and day out and be a mom with a clear thought as to why and what you're doing. A calling from God. I believe that when I die at my particular judgment, I will be held accountable for many things in my life, but particularly in the way I lived His call for me as wife and mother. That thought, that belief, is what motivated me to address and change my crazy, angry outbursts. How does your anger affect your children? Well, it teaches your children to be angry. Children who are constantly yelled at are more likely to have behavioral problems, anxiety, depression, and stress, and other emotional issues, and take out their anger on others. Over time, this feeling of anger and stress can change children, potentially impacting their feelings of safety, their coping skills, and the way they interact in future relationships. Don't forget, kids are constant observers, and they pick up on everything that we do, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Watching outbursts of anger or rage from either parent may model undesirable behaviors for our children on how to manage difficult emotions. And again, that can lead to emotional and behavioral problems, attachment and relationship issues, and repeating their parents' behavior, like yelling. Or they may go in the opposite direction and become people pleasers, overly compliant, and afraid to rock the boat. But when you stop being louder than they are, you teach them to be calm, and they can hear your direction or correction. When we yell, all they hear is the yelling. They can't actually hear what we're actually saying. The emotion is so big and frightening that they can't even hear what you're saying. So what kind of mom do you want to be? I would really encourage you to take a moment today. Take it. Don't try to work it in. Take it. Write down what kind of mom you want to be. Describe her. Have you done that yet? Have you ever thought about what kind of mom you want to be? It took me years of motherhood before I actually did this. What kind of mom do I really want to be? What is working and what is not working? And then I want you to ask, are your needs being met? Because this is the biggest reason that we have angry outbursts. You've probably heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And if you haven't, it basically goes like this. It's a pyramid, and on the bottom portion of the pyramid are our basic needs, physiological needs like breathing, food, water, shelter, clothing, and sleep. And then safety and security needs as we work up the pyramid, health, employment, property, family. How many of us disregard our basic needs to take care of our children? How many don't sleep well? How many don't eat well? How many don't dress well? You know, in these days of yoga pants, okay, I know I sound like an old lady, but come on, ladies. Dress well. It will make you feel better. Comb your hair. Throw on a little makeup. Shower first thing in the morning. Get yourself feeling like a human, dressed like a woman. It contributes to fulfilling your physiological needs. And if you say, oh my gosh, I know I have to sleep, but I can't sleep. I'll get to that in a minute, all right? So if we are not paying attention to our basic needs, we cannot work our way up to be the woman who fulfills other people's needs. The second level in Maslow's hierarchy of needs is the psychological needs, love and belonging. Do we have friendships and close family ties? And are we intimate with our husbands on many levels? Do we connect with him? Is our self-esteem being nurtured and paid attention to? Do we act in a way where we notice the respect of others and maybe the prestige of others? Do we see achievements in the work that we do every day with our children and our family? If we do not work outside the home, this is the place where we find all of our self-esteem. Are we looking for it? Or do we disregard it because that's what the culture does? Doesn't really matter that you're a mom. Moms aren't really important. I would disagree. In fact, I would say that our culture, our basic society, is dependent on good mothering. And I'm not the only one to say that. Actual experts say that. So, are your psychological needs being met? Again, if they are not being met, you cannot meet the needs of your children so that when they have something arise that conflicts with you, you lose it because your needs are not being met. We don't lose it. We don't give in to angry outbursts when our self-fulfillment needs are being met, when we are achieving our full potential creatively, when we feel accepted, when we have experiences and purpose and meaning, and when we understand our inner potential. When we live a life where we don't meet our most basic needs of eating well and sleeping well and exercising and dressing as if we care about ourselves, or our psychological needs of engaging in friendships and connection and intimacy with our spouse, first our spouse, but then outside friends. When we think about ourselves as just moms, or lack the respect of our vocation, our calling as wife, mother, and daughter of God, it's no wonder we feel unfulfilled and purposeless. And then we scream at our children because we're not meeting our needs. It isn't easy. It can be a battle to put our needs front and center. But if we don't, we have nothing to give but that simmering rage under the surface that people have when their needs aren't met and when they feel devalued or completely unvalued. We need to value ourselves before others can value us. Hear me when I say this. You are responsible for meeting your needs. Yes, sometimes our husband will ask, what can he do to help or chip in, or whatever it looks like when your husband meets a need. But stop hoping he'll notice or he'll figure it out. Stop putting off your needs until later. Sometimes I think it's the devil messing with our heads, telling us this is just the way life has to be. Get used to it. Get off your phones. Get off Netflix. Stop wasting so much time. Sleep train your children. Create habits and routines that serve you and your family so that you can have a home that runs smoothly and a schedule with normal ups and downs, but no screaming drama. So that your basic and psychological needs are met. It's a chicken and egg thing for sure. And so that you find fulfillment in your life, whether you work outside the home, inside the home, or both. So, what's your thought right now? Are you screaming at wherever you're listening to this podcast episode? Are you saying, I hear you, Janet, but you just don't understand? I do understand. I had 6 children in 8 years. I had a husband who worked 80-hour weeks and then walked away from it. He was on the fast track to success, and it was killing our marriage, and it was killing him. I do understand. I had a 7th baby 5 years later, and we lived in fear for the pregnancy that I might die. I do understand. I homeschooled. I do understand. After my husband walked away from a secure and very lucrative career, we had many, many financial issues. And he had stage 3 cancer that we lived through. I do understand. Our children are not the cause of our anger. And if they are, it's on us to up our parenting game. We are the cause of our anger because we're not taking care of ourselves. So how do you stop being that angry, screaming mom? Wake up, moms. Be self-aware and make firm resolutions. Make sure your needs are being met. Talk with your husband and make requests for your needs. Not whining, not complaining, just requests. Be clear. Create the environment you need for all to thrive. Everyone needs to sleep. Consistency in routines, orderliness, a decluttered space. Don't forget that a home that is a mess creates chaos on the outside and on the inside of each of the family members. Keep the home simple. Simplicity always nurtures a more peaceful environment. And make sure you're praying. I don't know how women do it without losing their minds if they're not praying. Pray. Make it the priority. Your children will be happy that you pray, and so will you. Be in the moment. Train yourself to notice when that rage wants to rise up through your chest and up your throat and out your mouth, and tell yourself, stop, wait, breathe. Whatever your word is to catch yourself, don't say anything. Breathe. Walk away for a minute if you need to. Then from a calm, quiet space, address the issue. I used to say to the children, everyone go to your rooms, and I went to the bathroom and I cried. I just let it out. And then I could come back and deal with the issues calmly. And remember, this is a child of God. This child has to learn. Set clear expectations aligned with their developmental stages. Know that some days will just be hard. They won't feel well emotionally. You won't feel well emotionally. And that's the day to go do something out of the ordinary as a way to connect with your children. Shake up the routine and the patterns of behavior. Be convinced you can break the habit of your anger. Remember, your thought is what drives your actions. So if you're certain that you're an impatient mom and this is just the way it is, as I was, you're going to continue to have angry outbursts and show up like the mom you don't want to be. But when you decide, I don't want to be this anymore, or I can change this, that's when you start really using your prefrontal cortex to think, to show up the way you want to show up for your children, to be the role model that you want your children to strive for, either in finding a woman to marry or in being the mom when they get older. Remember, you have been called by God for this child, for these children, to form and teach them how to live with virtue and to know, love, and serve the God who made them. And then ask the Holy Spirit for the gift of patience. Okay, if this is something that you need help with, go to janetquinlan.com, sign up for a free coaching session, see what coaching is like, see how it can help you, and then make the decision to see if you want to continue coaching. I'm confident I can help you with this, but you have to make that decision and you have to make the commitment to want to change. Have a great week, everyone, and I'll see you next week. Take care. If you like what you heard, I'd be so grateful if you'd subscribe, leave a review, and share with friends. Thank you. Have a great week.